on the phone now Republican Representative Paul Scott of Grand Blanc, who is also chair of the House Education Committee. Good evening, sir. How are you?
Hey, good, Cheryl. Thanks for having me on again.
Oh, it's my pleasure. We had a great discussion the last time, and I was looking forward to talking with you again. You're chairing a committee that's been in the middle of a lot of hotbed issues all throughout the year since the new administration has come in. You decided to do something yesterday that I thought, well, I guess today, excuse me, that I thought was very interesting, and you were participating in a live chat this afternoon on education issues. How did that go?
I thought it was really positive. The public at large, I think, is very supportive of our education reforms, but unfortunately the teachers' union kind of spreads a lot of things that oftentimes aren't true. So the Flint Journal, through M Live, really went out of their way to give me a forum to talk directly with people and answer their questions and concerns. And when you can have that one-on-one dialogue, you can resolve a lot of issues, and people can see there's a lot of common ground.
Well, is the sound of your voice from your live chatting today?
No, I lost it a couple days ago, and it's coming back. But all part of being a politician.
Well, I guess it is. It's one of the hazards. One of the hazards that comes along with it. What were some of the concerns that you heard echoed again and again, or a topic that kept coming up today?
Well, certainly funding cuts. I think that's a concern for everyone. We had a challenging budget cycle, and people don't want their class sizes to increase. If at all possible. We don't want to hear about great teachers being laid off. So I was able to outline some ways through the governor's best practices budget where if we can get employees to contribute more or contribute at all to their health care premiums, start competitively bidding out non-instructional services like transportation and busing, and just do basic things like consolidating services between districts, and we can really make sure that the children's educational experience is not compromised at all in this tough economic climate. Our committee just took on a major 10-year reform, and there are quite a few questions about that, what the reforms would do, a lot more emphasis on looking toward effectiveness when it comes to layoffs as opposed to seniority. So we dealt with some of those questions and some concerns, and all in all, I felt it was a great discussion.
Do you feel that, let's take the tenure reform that is being worked on right now. Boy, did the outcry go out after some of that information came out, trying to reform that or rework how that is done. You feel certainly that there's need for some reform, that the way it's been done in the past may not be the best way.
Yeah, I mean, geez, if you talk to teachers one-on-one, you ask them why they want tenure, hey, I want protection from arbitrary dismissal. Well, even under our tenure reform package that came out, teachers will have more protections than any other state employee currently. And what we had to do, though, was make sure that ineffective teachers were not keeping their job in times of layoff just because they happen to have worked for five or more years and attained tenure protections from the state, while effective teachers, for example, the 2008 Teacher of the Year in Detroit Public Schools, are getting laid off. If nothing else, we have to make sure great teachers are in the classroom, and revisiting the tenure issue with passing out some common sense reforms were necessary. Unfortunately, the union leadership in Lansing decided to really rattle the cowbells and whipped up a lot of anxiety out there. But I think if people are reading the bills and they're hearing what's going on, that people cannot just be arbitrarily fired, we're getting a lot of public support on our side.
Very good. And when you talked about one of the articles that came out from MLive on this question and answer today, talked about you were supportive of the $475 million cut from K through 12, supportive in that things needed to be done differently.
Well, I mean, that's exactly right. I mean, the governor and a lot of people who got elected in the 10 election cycle, they got elected to cut spending and find ways to promote the same services in a more effective way. No one's excited about cutting spending for a lot of these essential programs, especially when it comes to K-12 education. But the governor really had been a leader in outlining various ways where we can get through this rough period if the focus remained on the kids. Right now you got school districts laying off teachers. You have them, pay to play sport, talking about eliminating busing. Well, what we're saying in Lansing is don't look there. Look toward employee contributions. Look toward doing a pay freeze for 1 year to get us through this tough tough time. And, you know, once we can have those discussions, I think people realize there's a better way than balancing the budget directly on the backs of kids. And, you know, while $475 million is definitely a lot of money, at the end of the day, when you look at it, you know, it's around a 2.2% cut. And, you know, that's something when you look at a lot of the other budgets, departmental budgets in the budget that just passed. You had higher ed, community colleges taking double-digit percentage cuts, revenue sharing really getting slashed. We went out of our way to protect our investment in K-12 schools, and, you know, it's incumbent upon us to get that message out.
Former Governor Jeb Bush was in Lansing today. He met with Republican leaders. Were you able to sit in on conversations or have a discussion with him?
Yeah. Senator Pavlo, who is my counterpart and chairs the Education Committee in the Senate, organized a meeting with some of us leaders in his office. And then we had about an hour and a half of Jeb Bush in committee today, and it was great. A lot of the reforms we're talking about now already happened in Florida over a period of when he was governor and now Governor Rick Scott down there. And probably the most compelling thing he pointed out is the bigotry of low expectation. If you say someone just because they're a minority or just because they're from an urban area can't learn and achieve, you are selling that life very short. And he showed when they implemented their reforms, well, we shifted the system toward performance and growth as a way of evaluating teachers and school administrators. Those numbers jumped across the board, regardless of the demographic. Florida was very far behind us when Governor Bush took over down there. The data didn't lie. They're now ahead of us, and, you know, it's our job to catch up. And, you know, we have a great model in what Governor Bush did, and we're gonna try to mirror a lot of the reforms that he did down there in Florida.
Well, sounds like a valuable meeting and a great discussion you had this afternoon with constituents as well. As always, Representative Scott, thank you so much for your time this evening, and I look forward to talking with you again.
Hey, anytime. I appreciate being on your show.
Thanks. Take care of that voice.
I will. Thank you.
Very good.